This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 159 of Star Wars and Scotch. It's Tim, it's Kevin, and we're here on this Wednesday morning in what was cold Florida and is now sunny Florida again.
It's now summer again.
It was quick.
I put my hoodie on, to go out to the gym, and I walk outside and I was like, taking this
didn't
off.
Didn't need it.
It was gross.
Yeah, so back to Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to let you guys know that we are no longer going to be covering Star Wars. We are now only going to be covering Pow World.
Oh, is that it?
So welcome to Pow World and Scotch. What are we talking about?
Are you that obsessed with it?
No, I'm not that obsessed with it, but man, it's a good game.
It seems like adult Pokemon. That's what I'm gathering.
It is adult Pokemon. That's exactly what it is.
With some really, really dark themes in it.
It's really dark. Yeah, it's dark.
You're not supposed to be in here anymore. Hello, my daughter decided for the audio Juliet. Listeners to come in.
Bye, Jules.
Bye, Julesy Poof.
Bye.
There's my whole family. Now you've seen them. Well, missing two.
Yep. Almost all of them. Missing
but you got the dog. That reminded me of the CNN video where the woman dove when the guy was doing the interview because the children came into
the baby because the baby's come, yeah, and he's like talking on like the BBC or whatever.
That was a great moment though, because it was like everyone's like, yeah, normalize parents being parents, stop.
And it was peak COVID too. Like that was the best part, is like everyone was like locked down, everyone's stuck in their house, they're still trying to do their job, they're stuck with their kids.
It's like, what did you expect them to do?
Anyways,
but
I'm just kidding. We're not switching to Pal World content on the podcast. I'm just been playing a lot of it. It's very fun.
I was trying to think of a spirit that starts with P that we could rename it, but I couldn't think of like Pal World and Peach Schnapps. I don't know. It's what it is.
That sounds gross. Not gonna lie. That sounds disgusting.
Yeah. I was never a Pokemon person, so it doesn't appeal to me. But the memes and the things that all of you are like. And watching you all, it's pretty funny. It just seems very dark, like under the surface, that game.
There's nothing beats a musket in your hand and shooting a fluffy little sheep lamb ball because he's level 18 and you need to capture him.
So, I heard.
Just top, you know, you just, and it's cool. Like the musket, you like, you put the wad down there, you watch him do the whole thing and he shoots. It takes forever to reload. It's great.
I heard Jen lasted 1 minute in the game, and then that was it.
I called it. I said once we got in there, I killed the lamb ball for the first time. I was like, Jen won't be able to do this. Broman spent 30 minutes trying to get her into the server, because at that time we were having some huge issues with Pow World and trying to get people into servers and stuff. He spent 30 minutes with her trying to get her into the server. She spent 5 minutes playing the game and then peaced out because she couldn't kill the fluffy, cute animal. And the best part is chat was like, you do understand that she slaughtered a bunch of animals in New World, right? And I was like, I mean, these aren't as cute. You know, New World sheep, they just look like sheep. Fluffy balls of cotton with eyeballs, much more adorable.
Did she cry too? Because that would be...
I'm sure she did. I wouldn't... Yeah.
I mean, the most famous moment of Jen crying is the moment Tim leaked to her that the younglings die in episode 2.
They die?
I will never, ever be able to beat that moment.
I mean, that's peak. That was peak.
Just breaking Jen's wall down of not knowing what happened to the younglings in Star Wars was by far one of my favorite moments as a content creator in Star Wars.
Just to hear her voice and the way it started shaking and like
they died,
Tim. And you're just laughing.
I lost it. Oh my god. We're just you know what? It's just never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment. But for your dull moments, make sure you're drinking King's Coast coffee.
True.
Because they'll undull your moments. I have winter waves this morning.
I'm drinking a quadruple shot of Countach.
Ooh, that's cool. You're gonna be flying in like 15 minutes. Good for you.
I saw a guy on TikTok who he's a truck driver. He dropped a load off in Miami, and one of the dock workers came up to him, didn't speak English, but he was like, Cubano, cafe. And the guy's like, yeah, I'll have some Cuban coffee. And he was like, I've never had it before. Why not? And he's like, they gave it to me in this tiny little paper cup, and I didn't think much of it, so I just threw it back, and now my heart is palpitating. Mm-hmm. Just like, damn. I was like, I wish I had that kind of relationship with caffeine, where I was like, man, it gives me a little woo-hoo. You know, and I'm just like, I need it now, or I can't move.
My wife's family is Arabic. And when I was dating her, I was at one of the aunt's houses, and they were like, oh, we have to give you some Arabic coffee.
Do they do it in the sand? Oh, that's so sick.
Did it in the sand, the whole thing. And then they take the grinds and they read your fortune. That's the other thing they do. But
that's cool.
Yeah, it's a whole traditional thing. But I didn't realize.
I love the spiritual connection with coffee.
Yeah, yeah. It was very amusing, except the amount of caffeine in it. And I had it at like 4 p.m. after dinner or late lunch.
Oh, you didn't sleep?
No, 2:30 in the morning. I was laying in bed next to her, and I'm like, and she's like, are you okay? I was like, oh, this caffeine is just coursing through my body right now. Leave it to watch some TV. But anyway, back to King's Coast. KingsCoastCoffee.com. Make sure you get yours. Winter Waves is out. Maybe you'll get one of our flash sales. We've been doing a few of those in the beginning of the new year, and you can stock up on your coffee and shake up the way you wake up, if you will. What was the one? I just did a deck yesterday. I can't remember which one. We changed the slogan. But KingsCoastCoffee.com, Winter Waves is out. GCX tickets. Mindy and I were in a meeting yesterday talking about the beginning of the marketing cycle starting next month for GCX. I've had many meetings for GCX this week about content, about floor, yes, about all of that stuff. We have some exciting stuff. The cool thing about this year is it's going to be events and things happening along the way that are leading up to GCX. It's going to be stuff online. It's going to be stuff in person. There's lots of opportunities there to get involved, do things, help out St. Jude, all sorts of fun stuff. So make sure you're paying attention.
I want to tell them all the things.
Don't tell them all the things, because the thing,
Kevin, there's so many cool things for St. Jude. I'm so excited.
The thing from yesterday is that's going to blow everyone's mind.
Oh man, I can't wait to tell everybody about that.
Make sure you're plugged into GCXevent.com, GCX on all socials. Get your tickets to GCX. Hotel room block. I sent an email yesterday asking for permission to put the block up. So hopefully we get that hotel room block up sometime in February. Solidifying after party for this year. There's so many exciting. I almost slipped the other day on stream and said where the after party was, but I caught myself. So just lots of fun stuff coming up for GCXevent.com. Get your tickets ASAP. Tim. Next,
I can't believe we're talking about GCX.
It's crazy. Anyway,
it's right around the corner. I know,
8 months away.
Shut up, Kevin. Star Wars.
No, not yet. Because next Friday, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, or you can get to the Tampa Bay area, and you want to hang out with us, and
hold on, wait, I got this one. you did the last couple ones.
Go for it.
I got this one. Do you guys like Magic the Gathering?
Yes.
Do you enjoy speakeasies with a spooky theme?
We moved the venue.
What? When did that happen?
Yesterday or 2 days ago.
You know what, Kevin? You got this one. It's all you, bud.
We had to move the venue because of there was a.
I gotta change so many things. I've got a command that runs every 10 minutes advertising.
We moved the venue because there's issues in Ybor right now. So Sam and Chris and Mindy decided it was best because people from their local Nerd Brew community were had issues with. Not going to get into it.
Also, for those that love magic, we'll be hosting an awesome pre-release event for the Murders at Karlov Manor. So if you guys love Magic the Gathering, you love getting dressed up in like in Doctor or in Clue style, if you want to look like notable characters from Clue. I'm brain farting. Who is in Clue,
Colonel
Kevin?
Mustard.
Who's the No, you're giving me the characters. Actor.
Yes, sir.
Tim Curry?
Tim Curry's in. If you want to dress up like Tim Curry from Clue, you can
Michael
do that.
Michael McKean, Christopher Lloyd, Martin Mull, Eileen Brennan.
There it is. So remember, Murders at Karlov is all about like Scooby-Doo, Clue. Can't officially say any of that. Hashtag MTG partner. But if you want to come join us, head on over to one. You can head on over to the GCX Twitter. You can head on over to my Twitter. You can. We don't have an official landing page for this, Kevin. But we'll be over at the 1UP. We'll be over in 1UP in Carrollwood. So if you want to come hang out with us, we'll be there. If you head on over to the,
it's on GCX.
How do they
just GCX? Is it's it on pinned on the GCX Twitter? Yeah.
Head on over to the GCX Twitter, twitter.com/GCX events.
Yep. And you can get your
really should have made a landing. Should have made a landing page.
Yes, they should have.
Next time.
This is not my event. I just want to say.
I know. We're learning baby steps.
But it's the pinned tweet on the GCX Twitter, so don't worry about that. I'll have a landing page for the next one, because if this goes well, we're going to do it more often. But if you want to hang out with me, Tim, Pool Shark, Ben, and the Rare Drop crew and the Nerd Brew crew, come on out. It'll be a good time. Plus, even if you don't want to do that, and maybe you're not the biggest Magic fan and you just kind of casually want to hang out, I still think you should get the base ticket and come, because it's an arcade. It's got all sorts of fun stuff and axe throwing food and booze and all sorts of good
stuff. We have a digital ticket too, so if you want to get your pre-release box and you want to get all that sent to you, we're gonna have a bunch of other things as well. Playmat, dice, there's a bunch of things that we'll also send to you included with the virtual ticket. Yep. So they'll be shipped off, and then you can come hang out with us on stream. We'll be streaming this live on Twitch, probably across other channels as well, on YouTube and on TikTok as well. So stay tuned. Stay tuned to our socials, especially if you're a big Magic the Gathering fan. And if you're not a big Magic the Gathering fan and you just want to come hang out, watch us sling some spells, play some video games, have a great night. It's catered. We're going to have everything covered in the tickets. And even if you don't want to pay for the ticket, you can just come hang out and have a good time. So head on over to 1UP in Carrollwood on February the 2nd, starting at 6?
6 or 7.
7? 6 or 7, somewhere around there. Dinner time. All right, so come hang out.
Come hang out.
Sick.
All righty, let's dive into it. We're going to get to the Bad Batch trailer towards the end of the episode, but Tim and I wanted to start with the book world of Star Wars. I finally was able to wrap up Eye of Darkness. I know it's been a while for Tim, but interesting flow ending there. Lots of things to look at. And then Tim and I started Dark Disciple, which is an older book. It's from 2015.
Okay, so the reason why I wanted to cover this book in particular is because of the big announcement that we got, which was Bad Batch Season 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just prefacing that as to if people are like,
why are they going back and reading this book?
Well, it's because I never read it. I didn't realize it was canon. And come to find out, these are untold stories that Dave Filoni wrote for episodes of Clone Wars, which were then novelized and turned into a cohesive story, which involves Asajj Ventress, which is really, really cool, which really surprised me. But anyways, we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But just one of the cool things about that is just that was a big reason why I picked that out, is I saw people talking on Twitter the other night once the trailer dropped, and they were all bringing up the Dark Disciple and Sawyer, our buddy Sawyer. She was like, you know, this is a great book. It's just not accessible for a lot of people. It's an older tone. You know, it's not really for kids. And I was like, oh, that's right up my alley. Let's go take a look. So, you know, even if they do end up, they give the Ventress story, or they give this story that Dave wrote for the episodes, and they give it a more lighter tone in the show, I'm still very, very much so excited to experience whatever it is in the book, if it's going to be a lot darker. Because Ventress goes through some stuff, dude.
Yes, she does. She she's an interesting character with a fun journey ahead of her in season three. Now, my question would be, I haven't read the book, so I don't know the full story, but will this be the end of Ventress then in Bad Batch season three, since we thought we already got it?
I don't know. I think we're gonna get the Ventress that falls in love with whoever that is, with her lover, and then she dies. I think we're gonna get Ventress's death, and this is how we close up Ventress's story.
Okay.
Is gonna be done in Bad Batch. But the more and more I think about this, the more that, like, when I showed you the picture, we'll talk about the picture a little bit later. But when I sent that, I was thinking, I was like, maybe season three is what all of Bad Batch was leading up to. Like, maybe this is why the Bad Batch was created. This story was created to tell that story. Does that make sense? We've talked about this a lot, that there's a lot of open slots in the Star Wars storytelling to, like, for us to fill in the gaps. Like, we have to do that, and it's really nice to have the actual Star Wars people, the writers, the producers, all these, make these stories for us to really fill in these gaps. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. Very, very excited to read this book.
Yeah, it's starting off good. I'm about an hour and a half in-ish, and it's just laying the groundwork for why they...
Where do we pick up?
It's probably... trying to think in Clone Wars. It's got to be after all the Dathomir Night Sister stuff, so maybe season 5? Fish?
Oh, so this isn't after Order 66. This is before.
Oh, yeah. No, this is before, because Jedi Order is in tech. It's Yoda, and Yoda is sending Quinlan out. So without...
Oh, you must... Okay. But hold on a second. How does that work, though? So where you're picking up in the book, I wonder if there is, like, a fast forward. I wonder if they're catching you up to then take you forward.
Again, I don't know, because it's the council meeting, not even the count. I think it is the council meeting, and basically Mace convinces them that to save millions of lives, we have to kill Count Dooku. And right. Then Yoda's solution is, well, we can send Quinlan out because he's nuts, and then Anakin's like, I'll go too, and Yoda's like, not the best idea.
Oh, wait, hold on. They turn Quinlan into an assassin?
They're going to. Like, that's the whole vote in the beginning. This is in the first, like, hour of the book, so I'm not ruining anything. They're discussing sacrificing one of their values and morals to save millions of lives. Like, Mace's whole case is basically, like, this is a dark thing that we have to do to save other people.
Do you think this will explain what happens to Quinlan and will set us up for what happens with Obi-Wan in the past?
Probably, because the whole point of this book is, obviously, we're going to get Asajj's death. This is the book she dies in.
Sure.
And then this is Quinlan's fake fall to the dark side. He doesn't actually fall. He's just convincing her. And they're already laying the groundwork for that, because he's talking to Obi-Wan right where I left off, and Obi-Wan's basically saying, like, you have to appeal to her will to dominate and all this stuff. Like, he's teaching her how to sucker her in.
But then we pick up, that's so interesting. So interesting. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting journey.
I'm very excited for this book, because I want to know I want to know where they take you. Where as in time. Where in time do they take you?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is later in the Clone Wars series. And it explains, I think someone said there's a line somewhere in Clone Wars where they explain Quinlan's off on a very important mission or something like that. So it must be this mission.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody says it in passing or something like that. So,
but then they don't, then no one ever knows what happens to him. So, like, that's
he's
the whole thing.
He's still,
like,
alive in Obi-Wan, so.
He's still alive, yeah, because Obi-Wan's like, Quinlan was here? Like, he mentions him. Like, there's, oh, man, I want to know what Dave is doing, dude.
So we could very much see him again in Bad Batch season 3. That's a complete possibility.
Oh, no, we are definitely going to see him. Isn't he in the trailer?
Is he? I didn't see him in the trailer.
I haven't watched the trailer yet.
Well, we're...
I kind of want to watch the trailer. Is it okay if I watch the trailer?
We're going to watch the trailer. Before we watch the trailer, though, let's do Eye of Darkness break, and then you can watch the trailer.
All right. Okay.
Because I don't want to do that.
Okay. The one thing that I do want to bring up, though, and it correlates with the book, I sent this to Kevin last night, but in January of 2020, a young woman tweeted some pictures and said, the news was broken to me that I will, like, the art that I drew for this book will not be published. So instead, I would like to share it with all of you. And the pictures that she drew are the exact character representations of Ventress and Quinlan that we see in shots of Bad Batch season 3. And I think that was a beautiful homage to this artist that seemed to have poured a lot of time and effort into the designing of these characters. And the reception of that artwork by the Star Wars fan base was huge at that time. I went back and read through the comments, and it was all nothing but just positivity. I had some, like, people found that tweet. Who was I following? I follow a few Star Wars creators, and someone retweeted that exact tweet. And then people were currently talking about it again too. So I just thought that was really cool that, like, that hard work was not let, it wasn't let go.
It's a really, they kept it. Really cool image.
I love, and you see Ventress's lightsaber, this yellow blade that she has in the trailer. Her hair's done the exact same way. I mean, like, they literally just, they brought that Ventress to life. And I thought that was beautiful for her, the artist who put a lot of time and effort into that.
Yeah. So it's a very, very validation cool. of your work.
Most definitely.
And for it to come 4 years later is pretty wild, but pretty cool.
Yeah, could you imagine that? Like, in your mind, like, this thing's done and it's never going to see the light of day. Then, boom, it gets to be on a massive show. That's so cool.
All right, drop that in for E-Rock. So if you're watching on TikTok or something like that, we'll have the image put into the show for you. Before we dive into the break and dive into the trailer, I want to touch on Eye of Darkness, the latest High Republic book. It was a good book.
It was a very good book.
Markion holds the High Republic together. I'm going to say it out loud. I don't care if it's a hot take.
Yes.
Markion is the reason the High Republic is interesting, which is shocking because when I first saw the Nihil, I was like, all right, Mad Max, space, Star Wars, whatever. They seem like another villain. The villains that they have introduced in High Republic between the Drengir and the Nihil are driving the High Republic, in my opinion.
I agree. I feel like that's always been Star Wars, like, theme, though, is that the bad guys always carry the franchise. Like Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use Sith for example. Darth Vader, Darth Maul. Mm-hmm. Darth Maul, I still believe, is the most iconic bad guy from the Star Wars universe, alongside Darth Vader. Darth Vader and Darth Maul carry the prequel in the original trilogy,
even the smaller stuff though. Look at High Republic. Whose face do you see everywhere?
Oh,
Darth,
yeah.
Malgus. Yep. Old Republic, not High Republic. Darth Malgus.
I know what you mean. There's just like the bad. Like,
you are the bad guy in Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, most definitely. And people love that power fantasy. Like, it's a power fantasy. It is the Star Wars allows you to live out the life that you definitely would not lead. Like, I mean, it's escapism.
Mm-hmm.
It is the thing that you always want to have, but you know that you can't have it. You know you can't do that. That's bad. But you find it so interesting. And that's what I think Star Wars does so well, is that they aren't like, okay, so stormtroopers and stuff, like, they just show up and they die. But for the most part, like, the iconic bad guys, for the most part, like Darth Maul in episode 1, like, he gets shit on real quick. But him coming back and all the way through Clone Wars and all that stuff, his journey through Rebels, like, still, I think, personally, most iconic bad guy in Star Wars because of his journey. And even when his little part in episode 1 still made him one of the most interesting bad guys, because you gave him the first guy who had a staff lightsaber.
Yep.
Never saw a double-bladed lightsaber before. What the hell is that? Mm-hmm. So they know how to make bad guys interesting. You fall in love with them because they allow you to fantasize of, like, man, what would it be like to be Darth Maul just for a minute? You know, like, what would it be like to be Darth Vader and just not give a fucking force choke everybody because he pissed you off? You know, it's just like, it's cool.
Markion is like the kid that was bullied.
Oh, yeah.
Who now is in complete power and getting
revenge. He went to the gym.
Mm-hmm. Markion, you know,
he's that kid that... He sits on the bench and he has a hoodie on and he's quiet and he just bounces his head and you're like, that kid he's either got broken up with or he got stuffed in a locker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's Markion. And he's taking it out on the entire universe now. But you know, the whole I thought they were gonna solve the storm wall problem by the end of the book. And I'm happy they did it. And I'm happy it's not a planet destroying super weapon this time.
No, I love this idea of this impenetrable wall that just engulfs space. Mm-hmm. It's just like and it eats up planets. And I love the way that Mark Young goes about with like his propaganda and all that stuff, because it's the perfect bad guy of he's not entirely wrong. But then you see his actions and you're like, you're starving people, you're a bully. Like, you know, there's so many things that are wrong about you, but at the same time, he makes some really good points.
He does.
And I hate that. And I love it at the same time, because every bad guy that I've come up against in a video game or in a movie or anything else, Thanos, for example, every time I go back to Thanos, I'm like, big purple guy, just he was right. He was right the whole time. You know, and everyone's like, what do you mean he's right? It's genocide. And I'm like, I get it. But I understand from his point of view what was going on. And that's the best bad guy.
We've talked about it Joker. Before. Bad guys that make you question your own morality are the best bad guys of all time. Because
most definitely,
when you see yourself in there, it scares you. Because the chaos, the death, all of the terrible things they do. And you're like, oh, my God, but I agreed with what he said there. And that's what bothers you. And that's what makes you think. And that's what makes an even Bane in The Dark Knight Returns arises. Shit.
He was a great bad guy.
He was because everything he said was true. Everything he said about society, everything he said about the way people act and would react. Joker, same way. Even in the new the Batman, the Riddler. Everything he says is true. Not everything, but most of the things he says is true. So Markion, same thing. He's not wrong. He's not wrong about what he says about the Jedi. He's not wrong what he says about the Republic. Now, we as the reader know what's going to happen in the long run. Yes, the Jedi and the Republic
will
bite themselves in the ass because they're high and mighty and pious and all this stuff.
Yep.
Now, it did show you, though, that his propaganda machine that he's running, he's just as guilty as they are with subverting the masses and trying to convince them that he's the good guy.
Most definitely.
So even in that manner, he's still showcasing, yeah, I'm the bad guy and I'm lying to everybody. But a lot of the other stuff he says about the Republic, especially what he says about the Jedi, he's been right every single time.
I think that's why Marta Rowe was far more successful in winning over the public, because she never used a heavy hand.
No.
She was very light. She was very loving. You know, it was a cult. Mm-hmm. She made a cult. Yep. Markion, on the other hand, made a war machine.
Marta inherits a cult. You didn't read those books, but she essentially inherits a cult. But the way she runs the cult is different.
She runs a cult versus Markion runs a war machine. But he disguises the war machine as salvation.
Yes.
And that's the scary part.
But you're also seeing the cracks, because we keep seeing Nihil that don't want to go along with what he's doing, but he does have this tight vice grip on them, but as you know, history has shown us, the tighter you squeeze, the more resistance is going to rise up against you.
I don't understand his constant want for border control, too. Like, the constant grab at free space seems a little much for me, in the sense of like trying to think of from a strategic standpoint of what they're going to do with the Nihil. Like, you are setting yourself up for failure. So I think that's why they're doing this, to your point of the cracks. As he continues to expand the storm wall, he gains more territories to control. He has more space to control, which at the same time means that he's going to have to recruit more people. That's more managing. That's more people under him that are going to get frustrated, and you're going to have rebellion. And it happens every time.
Every time.
He is creating the perfect system for a rebellion. And so I would assume that's what the next book will end up being, kind of like what you saw with who is the badass Twi'lek?
Loden Greatstorm?
No.
Oh, Lorna D?
The Nihil. Lorna D, same idea, right? Like, she essentially just ends up turning on Markion because of how he treated them. So I think you're gonna end up with that same problem again. Whereas higher ups are gonna flip. And that's what he was trying to not do. That's why he completely reestablished, that's why he reformed the leadership hierarchy, right? Because he didn't want what did he call them? I forgot the nomenclatures for all the different. Because you had Storm. You had...
I'm trying to remember, too. I'll look it up.
But anyways, so I assume like that's what he's trying to avoid, but I still think he's gonna end up with that. He's gonna end up with rebellion.
Strikes, internally. Clouds, and storms form a tempest, which is overseen by a tempest runner.
Tempest runners. Yeah, so he had like four or five tempest runners.
Something like that. I think it was four.
But I will have to say, the more that I read George Mann books, the more I fall in love with George Mann's writing style.
I like
Every George Mann Star Wars, High Republic Star Wars book that we've read, I've loved.
I like Charles Soule too. They're probably my favorite of the group. But yeah, the interesting thing about the Stormwall to me too is it seems to take the energy from an attack, and that's how it grows. So the more you go after it, it seems the more it can get bigger, is my assumption.
Yeah, it's not sentient.
No. It's just harnessing energy and then using it to grow.
Right. That's why it was able to expand once they did their blockade run. Mm-hmm. When they were like beating the shit out of it. And then they're like, we did it. And then boom. Mm-hmm. that was so intense. That was like a minor victory. Like, yay, they did it. And then it was like, no, they're all going to die.
Yeah. And then the other big thing from this book for me is, you know, the Jedi trapped on the other side of the Stormwall is a great story. We got
so good.
Bell is out there. Buryaga's out there. And Eivor and Elzar, oh boy, that is like a meteor shooting towards someone falling towards the dark side. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know which one it's going to be, but one of them, somebody's going to die and somebody's going to lose their mind. And that's going to be a whole thing. And it wouldn't shock me if that happens in the next few books.
Yeah. I mean, like, how many more books do we have?
I think
in this phase, because this will be the final phase, right? Phase three is it.
Yeah, Disney wants them to move this to like
we'll finish with High Republic books, and then we'll go into Acolyte. And then after Acolyte, they're already doing the Young Jedi show on Disney Plus, and that has been very successful, in my opinion. I think they've done very, very well. Whenever I go to Galaxy's Edge, I'm always seeing people wearing like nub backpacks. Or like they have like the little lightsaber training droid pin So I mean, it's just all like it works. It is a great entry point for kids to get into Star Wars, and so Kyler's been loving that. I think it has been a success, in my opinion. So hopefully we get to see more of that on Disney Plus. I would love to see more. Like, I know we have Rebels, and I know we have Clone Wars. Well, Clone Wars, but I know we had Rebels and we got all that stuff, but I would love to see more like Star Wars animated stuff in the High Republic.
Spring 2025, A Valiant Vow is the final book of the phase three.
Oh shit, we still have some time.
So we read Eye of Darkness. Now, I don't know which of these are like teen and stuff, so take it with a grain of salt.
Oh,
but
true.
We have Escape from Valo, Defy the Storm, Temptation of the Force, Trials of the Jedi, Into the Light, Beware the Nameless, and A Valiant Vow. So that's where we're at.
Okay. A Valiant Vow. Ooh.
That's the end. So
that sounds like that's going to be really interesting. I want to know what the vow is.
I don't know. Could be dark. Man. Could be dark, Tim.
It could. Well, that's my assumption, is that the Valiant Vow is going to be like it's going to be a promise. It's going to be a promise that is made. It feels like a lover's promise. Like that is a valiant vow. Makes me feel like it's a lover's promise and something bad happens at the end. Ooh, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Excited. Very excited.
Very excited. Right. Well, we're going to move on. We're going to take a quick break, and then Tim is going to watch the Bad Batch season 3 trailer for the first time. But see you on the other side of this break.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back. All right, Tim, hit play.
All right.
Bad Batch season 3.
I'm hitting play. 3, 2, 1.
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Oh, this is sick.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Wanda's here.
She's back.
Wanda shows She's up. Back. That's sick.
Tick.
Tick.
Boy, Tick.
Oh, Omega.
Oh,
that was Crosshair.
Uh-huh. Dr. Hemlock.
How long is long?
I think it's been like a year or two. Ooh, the Emperor.
Ooh, he looks so good.
I love how they've improved on his character model. What was that?
We don't know yet. Could be a Phase Zero Dark Trooper.
That looked like a, like an assassin, like an assassin trooper of some sort. That was cool.
Oh, more commandos! Ah, Cad Bane! Wrecker!
He missed.
There's gonna be so many filler episodes. God damn it!
He missed the thing. It's so hard to catch. There's one thing that I think they didn't mean to leave in the trailer.
Oh, that was Ventress. Oh, it's the actress. It's the actual voice actor.
Her. Oh, she looks so badass. Oh, my God.
So, I have to scrub to find it. But there's a quick shot. Yeah, that's going to change your entire feeling on the... I got to find it. Hunter is talking, and over his left shoulder is Crosshair with his helmet on. Like they're going on a mission.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. They break him out. Okay, so it's the scene where Omega walks past Crosshair, and they're in the holding cell or the jail or wherever mm-hmm. they are. My assumption is that they break them both out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like that honestly does not surprise me at all. Crosshair's already turned back to being a good guy.
Or
that happened in the last season.
They can't get her out, and they get Crosshair out the first time, and she gets stuck behind again.
That would be, I mean, like, but we know that there is going to be a rescue attempt. I think that would actually be sick. You leave Omega, you take Crosshair, he's redeemed. Everybody has this whole, like, Wrecker, like, throws him up against a wall. He's pissed off. They had this, like, big come to Jesus moment, and they all hug it out, and they're like, how do we get our sister mm-hmm. back? Yeah. Also, this whatever that is, that dark that assassin looking trooper, whatever that is, love
even
it.
Even Alex said that he thinks it could be a Phase Zero Death Trooper.
Well, we've constantly been saying that this feels like the start of the Death Trooper program.
Yes.
constantly, we have been talking about this for years now, Kevin, is that this is going to be, we are finally going to understand, because the Death Troopers, they just show up. Death Troopers were not a thing until very recently with Rogue One. Rogue One is when Death Troopers were introduced.
Do you think Dave would break our hearts and make Omega the first Death Trooper?
No, I don't think they would do it. I don't think they would do a female Death Trooper. That would, we've never had a female Death Trooper that we know of. That would be very interesting. I still think Omega is important to Boba Fett's story. Omega and Boba Fett, because he's Alpha. He is Alpha. She's Omega. Mm-hmm. So we need to know what happens with the beginning and the end. We know that he started that part. She finishes it, but we know that Boba Fett's still going on. Boba Fett in the Book of Boba Fett's still alive and things are good. So what happens to her? That's going to be the most important thing. And we've been constantly asking about that for seasons now. Like in the first season, she's so different from the Omega that we get in the second season. I want the first season, the one that seems to be like force sensitive, the one that has like this gut feeling that something bad's going to happen. I want to know more about that.
So here is the release schedule. And again, this could inform us on what's going to happen.
I'm also going back to try to find that scene while you're doing that.
Release.
Everything about this, like, I know that they highlighted all of the important episodes. I'm very curious to see. Oh, that was what's her face? That was Boba Fett's. That was Mulan. Oh, crap. What's her name?
Oh, I know the actress is Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah, it's Ming-Na Wen's character. I can't think of what her name is, but she shows up in one of the scenes. I just saw it.
Oh my God, it's going to bother me. I have to look it up.
And that's Lama So, right?
Lama So is in there, yeah. Oh my God, what is her name? People listening are yelling right now, like Fennec Shan.
It's so hard to remember everybody's
names. It really is. Tim and I have a lot going on. That's my excuse. All right, so here's how it lays out. February 21st, we get the first three episodes, which I think they did this last season too.
Man, you don't even see Crosshair. You see his gun.
Oh, in the over. No, there's one shot. You can see him, his helmet over.
He's talking to Wrecker, and on his right is Crosshair's sniper rifle in that backpack. You can see the backpack sticking out in the frame. And that's about it.
There's one. Alex pointed it out. That's the only reason I was able to catch it was because it's over.
I got to go back and watch
his left shoulder.
I went to about 1:40, and like you could see his sniper rifle. But that's cool. I love that the whole gang is going to get back together, which makes sense for season three for the finale. Like they set Crosshair up as a really cool bad guy, and then it kind of fell apart because Dr. Pershing shows up. Dr. Pershing, I think, is a better bad guy.
So
overall.
It's a three episode release on February 21st. They did this last year too with season two, and it worked. What
did you notice? Did you notice the shot of the fire in front of Jabba's palace?
Yes.
What is that about?
Could be your Boba Fett connection that you keep.
It could be. I don't know. That's really interesting. I'm just like, I'm trying to like go through now that I've gotten over the hype. There's a lot going on. I didn't realize how much is really packed into. There's always a reason for why they put, for the most part, I think there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors to try to get people to think one thing and then hit them with something else. But like there's a scene where you are in the medical facility and it's a top down shot of all these droids working on these tables. And then like there's these two tables next to each other. What is that about? I'm very intrigued. I want to know what Dr. Pershing is doing, because this is his lab. This is the cloning lab that we go to that everyone thinks that Luke's hand goes to. That same cloning facility from EU, we're there. That the very
Mount Tantus,
luscious, yeah, we're there. That's where this is. So I'm very intrigued. This is where all the cloning is. In theory, this is the Imperial cloning facility, right?
I would assume so. That's what Mount Tantus.
In theory,
is supposed to
that's
be.
Where we are. In Mount theory, Tantus. That's where Lama Su is.
That's where Dr. Pershing is. This is where they go after destroying all the Kaminoan technology. They ripped everything from Kamino that they could. They put it on those Super Star Destroyers. They fly off and they blow the planet up, or they blow up the facilities and they
during
leave.
The early days of the Imperial Era, the Galactic Empire relocated its cloning program from the extravagant planet Kamino to the Wayland facility on Mount Tantus, establishing it as the headquarters for the Secret Advanced Science Division.
I don't even read this stuff, dude. I'm just pulling it out of my butt. Let's go.
Medical personnel, including the kidnapped Nala Se, were brought to Mount Tantus for the cloning effort. The mountain included several facilities for the cloning program, including holding cells for Se and rogue clones, and an underground containment zone for cloned Zillow beasts. Mount Tantus and its facilities were heavily guarded by the clone commandos and Imperial Royal Guards.
Yes! That means we are going to get tie-ins to Mando. We are going to get tie-ins to episode 9. We're going to learn so much about cloning. I'm so excited.
In Legends, Mount Tantus was a mountain on the planet Wayland that housed one of Emperor Palpatine's secret storehouses. It was considered a forbidden place by both the locals. I don't know their names. It came to house Grand Admiral Thrawn's secret cloning program during Thrawn's campaign.
This is gonna be so good! I'm so excited!
He's jumping for the listeners, just so you know.
Oh my god!
He's jumping, literally jumping.
But this is just perfect! Bad Batch is literally the folk. It's the fulcrum. It is everything.
So, episodes 1, 2, and 3 come out together. They did this last season. Episode 4 and 5 on their own. Then we get to episode 6 and 7. They come out together. So that's probably an important week, too. 8 and 9 on their own, filler.
Fillers.
10 and 11 come out together.
Not fillers.
12, 13, 14 come out on their own. The series finale is 15. Here's my guess. 15 is going to be the most important episode, obviously, because it's the series finale. But also, normally, Bad Batch seasons are 16, or the last one was 16 episodes long. This leads me to believe 15
is going
to
be long as shit.
They decided to make it one long episode and then call it a day.
It's going to be a movie.
Well,
it'll be an hour. I guarantee you it'll be like an hour. Well, it'll be like an hour and 15 minute run.
Remember the last 4 episodes of Clone Wars were like 45 minutes each.
45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That was its own movie. And Dave, even remember Dave did the different opening sequence for those 4 episodes too.
Right. Right. Yeah, because they handled those episodes so differently. They felt a lot more cinematic than, because they weren't filler episodes.
You have to remember, too.
They were very critical episodes.
This season of Bad Batch is important because this is the end of the clone saga. Yes, we will see clones in future content. They're not going away. But the saga of the clones and their relationship to the Republic and the Empire ends with Bad Batch. It's over.
Well, this will also be Dave's love letter to all the Clone Wars fans.
Yes, this is it. This is the end.
Like this is it. So I mean, like, if you started watching the Clone Wars, the new, not the original Japanese style comic. What do they call it? Isn't that Kamigawa? What is that?
Tartakovsky was the guy that made it.
Tartakovsky's Clone Wars. So the Dave the Filoni-verse Clone Wars. This will be it. This is tying it on a bow. They're tying it with a bow and sending it off, and we're all done. So I assume this will be a very emotional, very impactful season for a lot of Star Wars fans.
Yep.
That grew up with Clone Wars.
Yeah, I think, you know, my son who's loved Clone Wars, I think that might be his favorite piece of content because, you know, different generations of Star Wars like different things.
Sure.
So this is going to be a huge period at the end of the sentence for him. So, I mean, he cried at the end of Clone Wars, so I can't imagine what's going to happen in this. We're still watching season 2. He hasn't gotten to text death yet, so I have a feeling that will mess him up too. Childhood trauma, right? Yay!
Yeah, that one's okay though. He'll get over it.
Tick.
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 Oh, not tick.
Oh, tick. Oh no.
And I can't, and now that we've watched so much Bluey, that's just all I'm going to think of. I'm just going to think of Bluey. Have you seen, like, just complete tangential to all of this? Have you seen that guy who plays Bandit?
No. Should I look it up?
Okay, so the voice actor who plays Bandit, he doesn't put on a voice for Bandit. That is his voice. He is also a very small music artist.
David McCormick.
He does covers. He does covers, and him singing Taylor Swift
is hilarious because all you hear is Bandit. You just hear Bandit singing Taylor Swift.
All right, I gotta see.
It is the funniest thing in the world.
Oh, God.
And now, after watching so much Bluey in our house, I feel like when I turn on The Bad Batch, I'm just going to see Bluey characters running around. Bluey has ruined all Australian accents for me.
Tick.
Tick.
Ricka.
Anta.
We have some Aussie fans because when we were talking about, what's the game that never, Hunters. They were all like, I'm going to say it in their voice. They're going to make fun of me and I'm going to make fun of them. But there was, hey, I've already played the game there, mate. I've played it. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, so I know they're going to hear this and be like, yeah, you stupid Americans and you're Bluey. And so it is what it is. But yeah, tick, tick. Maybe David McCormick tick. Will do a guest spot. Disney. Who knows? Maybe he'll be a character in... Just to really bring your immersion home.
That would be so good. Yeah, he doesn't change his voice at all. I think that's that's the funniest part to me is that it's just Bandit.
So, now I have to hear this. I have a tab open for when we're done with this. Anything else from the trailer that stands out? I mean, I have a feeling this is going
to
be like...
I'm going to have to watch this a few more times.
This is
I love the commandos. I love seeing more and more commandos. I think Omega's clone, the older version of Omega that we run into at the end of season 2. Mm-hmm. A part of me really wants her to be critical, but unfortunately, I think she's going to show up just like once or twice and then she's going to be done.
Also,
I think she's going to be very critical for a certain episode, for a certain brief moment in time where Omega needs her because there's a scene where she's carrying the chessboard. Mm-hmm. And the lasers come down and scan her. I'm assuming she's going and visiting with her.
Go to 57 seconds and tell me, is that Ian McDiarmid or is that, what's his face? Our buddy who worked with us on the charity marathon. Who does all the Star Wars voices. Starkiller.
Sam Witwer? Yes.
Is that, well, Sam normally does Palpatine.
I know you meant. He does, yeah. They've had a couple of Palpatines. Tim Curry was Palpatine
his Palpatine.
I did not love Tim Curry Palpatine. Ah, the dark side. Ah.
But listen, you know, listen at 57. Is that...
I'm listening.
Is that Ian McDiarmid?
I'm listening. Yes. That is Ian McDiarmid.
That's a big deal that they're bringing him back to do this.
But they've done that a few times. He has gotten to do... They've flipped around too many times with Palpatine in the animated series. They've had too many voice actors, in my opinion. But yeah, that is Ian. That is not... I'm listening again. It's such a brief moment.
Just the tone of the voice.
So when you hear him whisper, that's the Emperor. That is not Sam.
That's a bit that says a lot to me that they brought him back to do this. That's a big deal. Yeah,
because he's got that really like low gravelly voice like when he's talking like this. You know, like that's him. I'm not a betting person and I would throw $1,000 and say that was him.
To secure the
victory. Sam has gotten really good with his Emperor.
I'm sorry, I paused on the trooper. That looks like a Death Trooper to me. That looks like an early the helmet, everything. It even has the glow on the helmet. It's not green quite.
Or that is Crosshair's new outfit.
But why would he be leading a battalion of stormtroopers again? I don't think they trust him anymore.
No, I don't think so either. No, because he was captured, so it wouldn't be Crosshair. I'm trying to think of any of the other... Was there anyone left in his original battalion that he was leading?
What if they...
Those commandos? Did they all die?
I think they all died. No, because remember...
Is one of the annoying little pricks, is he still alive?
I think a few of them are because they're the ones who turned him in.
Yeah, so then that could totally be one of the... Wasn't there like a really just like prickish blonde-haired guy that was still alive that I just did not like? That could be him.
Or it could be the first necrotic death trooper.
It could be. It really could be like they finally got it right. I don't know. But that definitely, the more I look at it, it looks a little too nimble. You know how stormtroopers have like the death troopers have like just like a clunky kind of like, they're big, right? They're just
They're big. Mm-hmm.
It looks very sleek and nimble, almost like a female character. That's why I'm kind of like, I'm torn. Because the body shape doesn't look, it looks a little more petite.
What if Omega's friend, the other Omega?
God, you really want Omega to be a Death Trooper?
Well, no, her friend, the one that tells her who she is at the end of season two.
Yeah, the Omega. Oh,
the other Omega.
Omega V1.
The sister, yeah. Whatever she calls herself.
That would be sick. That would be what wild. But she's a scientist. She's not a combatant. She's a scientist. She does research. She wouldn't know how to hold a blaster.
I don't know. Well, here's how it's going to go. February 21st, it kicks off. Tim and I, obviously, the first week we'll be covering it will be super important. And then Tim will go through his...
What day is the 21st?
I believe they're all on Wednesdays now. Let's see. Yep. All Wednesdays, buddy.
Cool.
God, this runs till May.
I won't be here for the following week, though.
It'll probably be filler anyway.
Good. I will be out of the country.
Oh, where are you going?
I can't tell you.
Can you tell me, not them?
I can't tell them. I can tell you.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll have a guest on to cover that one for me.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'll see if anyone's around to Star Wars it up with me. Ooh, you know who I could get, probably? I could ask Mike if he'll watch them, and then Mike could do it with me.
That'd be fun. I didn't know Mike did Star Wars.
Mike is on season 5 of Clone Wars and won't stop texting me about how much he loves it because he was so bored in the beginning. And I was like, dude, just stick it out. I know it feels like a kid's show right now, but I promise you it'll be worth the run.
Did you give him the list of all of the fillers he didn't need to watch?
I did give him the watch list. I don't think he's following it, though, because he's watching it with his son.
That's where... Oh, okay. If you're watching with a kiddo, the filler episodes are fine because they're fun.
Yeah, so.
But if you're watching by yourself as an adult, don't watch them. They're so boring.
So I'll see if I can get him caught up.
Especially the Jar Jar Binks episodes. Oh, my God.
Me saw Jar Jar Binks. We can also see if Ben wants to, if Ben's watched Bad Batch, we could.
Ben, anytime there's a Star Wars show on, we will get a late at night text message of, oh, my gosh, that was great.
You know who said they want to come on soon? Trevor.
Oh, I didn't know Trevor was you know who's really into Star Wars? Paul.
Oh, we got to have Paul on.
Paul. So I have a short list of content creator buddies that are Star Wars fans. Paul.
Got to have him on.
And
got to have him on.
Rex.
Got to have him on.
I found out that Elektra is also a huge Star Wars fan. So I got a short list of people that are huge Star Wars fans that I think we should have on the show at some point.
Let's do it. Let's do the next few weeks leading up to the Bad Batch premiere.
Love Let me it. Know.
We'll make it happen.
Yep.
Just like we did with Ello. Because okay. Ello brought to the table probably one of the most interesting conversations we've ever had on the show.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, okay.
Let's do it.
I'll reach out to some people.
Let's do it.
Love it.
All right. Well, cool. Tim and I are going to get out of here for the day. Make sure you head over to Tim's stream, youtube.com/darkness429 or twitch.tv/darkness429. He's also on TikTok and darkness429 everywhere on the internet. If you want to watch me, it's KMagic101 on YouTube, KMagic101 on Twitch, KMagic101 on TikTok, and I'm KMagic101 everywhere except Twitter, where I'm KevinXVision. We are Star Wars and Scotch. Star Wars Scotch or Star Wars and Scotch everywhere on the internet. Please rate, review, subscribe, all that fun stuff. And we will be covering Bad Batch starting February 21st. But it sounds like we're going to have some friends to talk to about Star Wars. So we'll be hitting some interesting topics. I have a list of comics for Tim if we hit a dead week. So we can always cover that and read some comics as well. But I hope you have a wonderful week and all of your wildest Star Wars fantasies, wink, wink, come true.
I don't want to know about your Star Wars fantasies, okay?
I get the TikTok of the girl who's like my husband and says, can you dress up like a sexy Star Wars character? And she did Chewbacca, but she cut it off like short shorts here.
Oh my
god.
So
it was Chewbacca in up top and then sexy legs and heels. I was like, I kind of want that tattooed on me, but that's a whole other conversation.
I always love the guys only like one sound, and it's always like a lightsaber igniting or something, or like the screaming of a TIE fighter. I'm like, yes, that is.
Did you see the one where she goes, guys only want one thing, and it's a guy literally, he's an aerospace engineer explaining why the Eagles couldn't take them to Mordor.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's amazing.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
Love that guy.
Anyway, yeah, that's a good one. A great week, and we will see you next week for more Star Wars and Scotch. But Tim,
May the force be with you.
Always.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.